A prayer, which I say every day, and I probably can't repeat it now, but it ends with, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, may I breathe forth my soul in peace with you. Amen. And that's what my father died to, with all of his children and his wife praying for him.
Mm-hmm. Into the loving arms.
Yes, and after he died and his body was taken from our home, my mother went to my dad's candy drawer and brought out the last candy that my father bought, and she put it on one of her silver trays. And we stood around our big kitchen, and we passed it around, and we each took a piece. And for me, if I talk about the Eucharist, for me, that is an experience of the Eucharist. Sharing in that food that my father, he always gave us candy. So it was such a tribute, and I just admired my mother for doing that. We could not bury my father right away. And we buried him on his 76th birthday. And it was just our family. And we came home, and my mother had baked a cake for him. Mm-hmm. We had cake and ice cream like we always did, mm-hmm. as a family.
A wonderful symbolic way of dealing with grief.
You know,
with such dignity.
Yes, and I think, who my parents were came out, you know, mm-hmm. At the time of death, too. So I know that, maybe it's... you know, we say Germans are so stoic and all that, but I think the tenderness and the love that we all hold does come out, you know, at times
like this.
Listening
to you, the fact that there was a family tradition,
mm-hmm.
of a prayer and this closeness,
mm-hmm.
And need to have the family circle there,
mm-hmm.
and then after his death, the symbolism with bringing out the tray of candy that,
mm-hmm.
so symbolized the,
mm-hmm.
generosity or,
yeah.
the tenderness of,
yes.
your father, that is just as important as
another kind of prayer,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, when we talk of Eucharist, we're talking about communion.
That's
and
right.
That's really communion. That's community. It's family,
mm-hmm.
community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a profound experience that we had. Another thing that I remember before my father died, it would have been like the day he died on December 27th. And that morning, I have a picture of my father. You know, when you talk about people used to moonshine, make whiskey,
mm-hmm.
my dad did that too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't be saying that, but...
it was a very common
thing. It was a common thing.
Yeah.
But my dad, that morning, I have a picture of him giving, or that afternoon, giving my brother-in-law a little whiskey in a shot glass. And
mm-hmm.
My father looked so ashen and all that, and he died 3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, this would have been Christmas Day, but he died then on the 27th.
Uh-huh. So was it schnapps?
It was schnapps, yes. And, you know, my grandma shook, Isabella Berger shook. When she was in the nursing home, she always had little peppermint schnapps in her little drawer, and out would come the bottle. So when my grandmother died, one of the gifts that they carried up was a bottle. During the funeral mass, that they carried up was a bottle of schnapps and put,
mm-hmm.
it on the altar.
Beautiful.
Peppermint schnapps, yes.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think that we integrated what was part of our life certainly at Grandma Shook's funeral, you know. The earlier ones died before Vatican II, when you couldn't do that kind of thing at Mass, you know. But so,
mm-hmm.
we did carry up,
mm-hmm.
symbolic gifts. And, you know, Mark Miller talked about the iron crosses.
Yes.
Just last week, I stood at my grandfather's grave, Syriac Shuch, who is buried at St. Pius in Sheffield. and I stood before his iron, the iron cross. And there are many iron crosses in our cemetery. And after listening to Mark last night, the next time I go home, my home is 600 miles from here. So, but the next time I go home, I must photograph some of those iron crosses and maybe learn a little bit more about them.
Mm-hmm. When, as a child, were the traditional funeral songs and you say it was before Vatican II, so there was a much more traditional style of funeral practices?
Well, I would just say I would not remember what songs were used at any of the funerals. The only one I remember at my father's that my mother wanted was How Great Thou Art.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think every time we hear that, like my mother will say, oh, we sang that at Dad's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think we just picked out songs that mm-hmm. we felt. But, you know, certainly growing up, we sang a lot of Latin songs, you know, mm-hmm. in our church, because Mass was all in Latin, you know.
Mm-hmm. And do you know, were those songs that were also sung in Landau or, you know, in the villages in Russia?
That I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But your parents were very familiar with them, so it certainly could have been, or your grandparents.
Yeah. Okay. Or I don't know that.
Mm-hmm. So your father was a musician. Would you care to talk about that?
Yes, my father played a button accordion, and I can remember it very well. And he would play at wedding dances, and then I don't remember what he did with that button accordion. But then he got, a keyboard accordion, and that still is in our family. My brother-in-law is, in fact, I have two brothers-in-law who are musicians. But my brother Howard McLaughlin still has my dad's accordion, and my mother and dad would take us to wedding dances. And you know, in those days you would go at 8 o'clock at night, and you would be there till midnight when the midnight lunch was served. And I can remember, you know, dancing every dance. We were not wallflowers. But, you know, we learned to polka and to waltz, and, you know, that experience of community. Mm-hmm. The people got together, and, you know, they celebrated. And if I could just interject this, too, when I think of community, I think of also, you know, after, and this is going back to church, but, you know, on Sunday mornings after Mass, everybody came out of Mass, and I can still see all the little huddles of people.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, I think, talked about the news of the week. But those were good community experiences. And, you know, now I live in a community of women religious, and I think it my experience of community as a child has impacted my religious life. Community experiences.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the songs your father played? Do you remember any of them? And did he sing and play?
I don't know if he sang, but he you know, I to be honest, I could not name any of those. But
if you heard them, you would probably recognize some of the melodies.
Well, you know, what were the polkas and the waltzes of those days? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was he self-taught as a musician?
I don't know that. It's a very good question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But music certainly played a role. Did he play for you children also?
He was a very busy man, but on Sunday afternoons he would often play the accordion.
Mm-hmm.
Now I remember hearing, you know, him playing more on the, you know, on his newer accordion. But I think I even have a picture of my dad playing the accordion.
Great.
I think I do.
If we could include
I
that.
Think I have it. I have to look at yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the foods that you grew up with.
Well, my mother was a great cook, and she taught us girls. One of the things that we made was strudel. And, you know, even today my sisters still make it, and my mother still helps. But we'd get around this big table, and we'd pull the dough paper thin, and then we'd fill it with like apples and cinnamon and sugar, or cottage cheese and raisins and sugar, or I think sauerkraut. And then you pull the sheet and roll it up, and delicious. And then we all, my mother and I still love soup noodles, and schnitzel noodles, and donf noodles, and oh, you know, so some of those things. And my sisters have learned to make this, and so, you know, the tradition will carry on. I think that's really very important.
Isn't it comforting to know the foodways aren't dying? That
that's
your,
right.
Your descendants, your nieces, your nephews, your great-nieces,
yes.
your great-nephews,
will still have a chance to
still have a taste for
some
that.
Of that food, yes.
And learn how to do it. Kuchen, did your mother make
Oh, yes.
Custard kuchen with a
yes, she dough? Did. And poppy seed rolls. Now, I don't know if that was so... my family, maybe it's more bohemian because my mother has a little bohemian blood in her. That's right. But a lot of that, we did our own poppy seed, you know, grinding of our poppy seed. And in our family, we still have the little poppy seed grinder. One of my sisters has it, and everybody, you know, still makes poppy seed rolls, apricot rolls, and I mean, it's the another thing my mother made was plechinda.
Oh yeah.
You know, with the dough and the pumpkin, and pig ears, sow noodles, sow, whatever, pig ears, sow ora.
Saora.
It's a dough, and you cut it in pieces. And then you have iron cones. We still have the iron cones in our family.
Really?
And at the end of the iron, well, there's an iron cone, and then a long metal piece, and a little loop, and then you attach a string to it. And then you put the dough square on, and then you tie the string around it, and you put it in deep fat, and you fry it. And and then when it's fried, then you put it in powdered sugar, and or sugar, and my family still makes those. So sow ora.
Oh,
yeah.
What wonderful food memories you have.
Oh yeah.
Was your farm self-sufficient in that your mother raised the meat and the your family raised the meat and the garden produce?
Yes. In fact, I have pictures of when we would clean chickens. We would clean 100 chickens a day. And freeze them, and we'd also sell them. We had a huge garden, which we, you know, my mother would did a lot of canning in her early years, and freeze, and I guess eventually we would freeze things. Early years it was canning. We also had, my father would probably have like 300 head of cattle, and so I remember the branding days. And I still have pictures of our brand, and my brother would still have the branding irons. But also then we would do our own butchering of, you know, for beef, and we also butchered our own pigs. Made sausage. My family still carries on the tradition of sausage making. Almost everybody makes sausage. On the farm that I grew up, we have a butcher house, and everybody is, even though my one brother has that farm, everybody can come and butcher there and make their sausage.
In the old traditional way,
in
the way
old,
your grandparents,
right.
your great-grandparents
yeah.
would have.
You know, in those days, they you know, would clean the casings.
Yeah.
But today, of course, I think everybody buys casings. But it would still be the sausage maker my dad used, yes.
So is there a person in your family, one that's sort of designated as the king sausage maker, and maybe another one that knows how to make schnapps, and maybe you know, maybe among your sisters each having a specialty of any kind?
No, they kind of work together in terms of the sausage making. Like my brother has the farm, and so you know, they'll come in and my brothers will work together, or some of my sisters and brothers will make it elsewhere, I think. I don't think anybody makes schnapps anymore. Some make wine, I think, from choke cherries. See, that was another thing I remember. You on Sundays, maybe not on Sundays, you never worked on Sundays, but we'd go choke cherry picking, and we'd make choke cherry jelly and choke cherry wine, and my sisters still make jellies and, you know, that kind of thing.
do you remember your grandparents making any reference to the orchards or the vineyards in the old country?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. And I just regret that I never talked about any of this. I mean, well, I certainly had the opportunity. I mean, there. I guess, you know, I think today it's we value that more.
Sure.
But I think what's happening is I'm so grateful that you people are doing this, because today we are so busy with everything, and we have better means of transportation, we have better means of communication, and we do less and less of that. But I think people are beginning to have family reunions now and trying to remember their cousins again, because we certainly knew them when we were kids. But, you know, we're trying to dig into our past, but we have to remember to live our present and live it well with our relatives.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, your family is maintaining family tradition,
mm-hmm.
just in that sense of community work around the foodways.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, as they're working together with their hands, there's no doubt some storytelling going on and some remember when kind of storytelling
mm-hmm.
going on.
Well, interestingly enough, just June 25th weekend, my mother and her 9 daughters went camping together. And it's we went to Medora. It's the first time we've done it. We want to make it a annual.
Yeah.
But we did a lot of remember when.
Mm-hmm.
So we recalled a lot of family
mm-hmm.
times.
And next time you'll take a recorder.
I guess
mm-hmm.
so. We
yeah.
never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful way
yes.
of being able to pass that on.
We do have a tape recording of that my grandmother made. My mother has that of
mm-hmm.
some of the questions maybe that you're asking,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Would you, would it be possible for NDSU to access that and make, for someone to make a duplicate so that we
yes.
could, we could transcribe that if
mm-hmm.
you think that it is full of some,
yes.
the answers to some of these questions?
Yes. Maybe another thing that we might have is, you might be interested in, we have, I just was listening to it recently, we have a tape that somebody made of German jokes.
Yes. Those are becoming more and more popular.
Okay.
And do they tell them in German or do they tell them
They're
in
English? German.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, certainly. We wouldn't turn
mm-hmm.
anything down. So many of the memories that I'm hearing you talk about are around religious life, food ways, and those weddings.
Weddings?
Those wedding events that when I... Can you describe, for instance, what the traditions would be for a family?
Well, you know, when I entered religious life, in the early years, we could not go home, but every 5 years. So I really did not go to a lot of my brothers and sisters' weddings, but I guess I did go to weddings when I was a kid. You know, you had a dinner and a supper. You didn't just have, you know, a reception and a supper. And I remember being at my oldest brother's wedding, and you know, my parents hired somebody, and they made, you know, the German potato salad, the potato salad with the oil and vinegar, which was a tradition in our family. And we had food poisoning at that wedding. And my brother and he almost died. the groom almost died. But anyway, that's another story. But, you know, you went to Mass like 10 o'clock in the morning, and then you had dinner, and then you socialized for the day, and then you had supper, and then you had a wedding dance. And then at midnight, you served a midnight lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, and I think that was kind of a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And at the wedding dance itself, you did the polkas and the waltzes and the schottisches, and everybody got out and danced,
mm-hmm.
and everybody knew how to dance.
So it was for all ages.
It was for all
from
ages.
From the tiniest baby to the oldest.
Yes.
Member of the
yes.
community,
mm-hmm.
and were there certain foods? I mean, you mentioned the German potato salad,
which well, you know, with German potato salad, you think of vinegar and bacon and all that. And I'm not referring to that. I'm talking about a cold potato salad with oil and vinegar. No, I just think we, my parents had their own chickens and their own beef, and so, you just cooked up a main meal. But I don't think you didn't get into the German foods.
I see.
You know, like the soup noodles and mm-hmm.
How about Kuchen?
Oh, yes, that
so
you
that would
be,
a
yes,
wedding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And maybe some red eye or some schnapps. Or
well, for sure.
And
yeah, the whiskey and the beer.
Maybe
and
some homemade wine.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. But certainly there was, the whiskey was there, I think, and maybe the schnapps.
Uh-huh. How about traditional dances of any kind? Was there a dollar dance or that you remember from your childhood?
Well, I don't know about them, but I know in the more recent years, it's like they do the dollar dance, yes, mm-hmm. or they pass the slipper around and mm-hmm. that kind
learning
of.
How to polka, is, I mean, did someone teach you? Did you simply dance with your uncles or your grandparents, and that's how you learned?
I think we learned at the wedding dances.
Somebody
taught us. Somebody taught us.
Uh-huh. And right. Like riding a bike, once you know how.
Right. Milking a cow, you know how.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we were great dancers, you know, and we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love to dance.
Mm-hmm. Was there television in your household growing up?
No, there was. We did not have TV until I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in fact, I think it was probably 1956.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the year I graduated from high school. And because I entered the high school, I entered the convent then in September of 1956. And so I did not have television when I was growing up.
Okay. Were there newspapers, radio, that sort of thing?
Oh, yes.
In your household?
We had the radio, and the radio, I remember when we'd turn on the radio, my mother would say, oh, turn off the radio. And I tease her about that today because she always has to have the radio going. And I said, Mom, when we were growing up, you'd say, turn off the radio. And she said, well, that's because we had to work. And so, you know, we were a very work-oriented family. We got the Dickinson Press, which we, you know, that's still part of our family. I think there was a German newspaper, too. And I know my mother would have some of those German newspapers.
So your parents read the German newspaper,
but
like the Dakota Free Press or the Staatsanzeiger?
Right,
okay.
Some of those. But, mm-hmm. But they also knew English. My parents, you know, would read the paper too.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just, you know, I can remember, when postage, 3 cents, you know, in those days, 3 cent stamps, I can just remember, you know, going to the mail and bringing home the mail and seeing the postage. And I think I'm such a letter writer that I think I'm real mindful of postage.
Sure.
And just remember that so
yeah.
Well. Mm-hmm.
Politics? Did your family involve itself in politics at all?
Well, they were Republicans. That I remember, you know. And so I remember, you know, at voting time and all that kind of thing. I know that my dad was asked to consider running for governor of North Dakota.
Really?
And he only had a third grade education.
Isn't that amazing?
But he, you know, he turned that down. And I'm sure he knew that. But, you know,
Did he have any particular political figures that he admired?
I don't know that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was he active in local politics? Farming, ranching,
Farmers Union,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, that kind of thing, yes.
Okay.
I think all the farmers were, you know, they were, and again, I wouldn't be able to expound on that in any way, but yes, as you asked that question, you know, I think they were interested in the welfare of the state and the nation, you know. So,
mm-hmm. Is there anybody farming your farm now?
Yes, my brother. He's the second youngest in our family, and when my parents were still on the farm, he had a trailer home next to our home, and he and his wife and children lived there. And so he worked very closely with my father, so he inherited the farm. My brothers inherited the land. My five brothers inherited the land. So all the land is still in our family.
What about the daughters? Did the daughters receive an inheritance?
Well, the way the will is written up is that whatever is left at the end will go to the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mother moved to Dickinson, she had my brothers and sisters take what they would like, I think the girls were able to take what they'd like, and my brothers too, you know, in terms of furniture and that, and so whatever furniture she still has some lovely furniture, you know, that's all, particularly her curio,
mm-hmm.
which was given to her as a wedding gift from her parents.
Mm.
So that's still there, and some of her dishes are still there, you know. But a lot of things she gave to my sisters. I have an iron that I used to iron with when I was a little girl. You know, we had a coal stove.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one thing, because I was in Africa at the time, that they saved for me. So I still have mm-hmm. one of the irons that I, you know, would iron with when I was a small girl. You know, we learned how to iron and cook when we were small.
In 1998, when you go home to visit, where do you go? Do you go back to your farm? Or?
Well, I was home just last week, and I stay with my mother in her apartment in Dickinson, but we drove out to the cemetery to visit my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and my father's gravesite, and then we went to our farm, the home that I grew up in, well, you know, when I was from second grade on up, and yes, so it's all there. You know, none of the stone buildings are there, unfortunately. All of them were torn down. But I remember them as kids growing up. And, of course, I lived in that stone house that my grandparents built. And, like I said, I helped tear it down. So, yes, yeah, so, but, you know, we get together as a family at least once a year where everybody comes together. And every time I go home, you know, my sisters have said to me, Ann, you know, when Mom's gone, you will just know you always have a home. And I do feel that we've stayed connected well enough that we will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of some of my sisters are interested in heritage. So I have a brother-in-law who's working on, has done a lot of, in our family tree, and also my sister. And I hope this book will be published soon, and you know, you certainly could have access to that then. And I will make it my business to find out what we have in our home in terms of what's available.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to thank you so much for giving me this time and spending this time with me. There are probably other questions in here that I hope you'll feel free to take some time and answer them. Everything you have to tell us is valuable.
Mm-hmm. I probably would tell you some more things about religious life when
right.
I entered and what that was like. And
that would be wonderful.
Yes. So.
Is there anything else that you would like to add to this interview?
No, I just, I mean, there's lots we could say, and we could go on all day. I just want to thank you, Carol and Mark, and the rest of your group that are doing this. You know, I know last night you said, you know, if there's anything you have that you would be willing to give up, you know, I do have my great-grandma's babushka. And I've given it, you know, because I didn't have anywhere to display it, my sister has it in St. Paul, has it in her home. It's a hand-painted babushka. It's very beautiful. And
do you think
it's
from your village in Russia?
It more than likely is, mm-hmm. yes. And my aunt had it, and she didn't want it. And she just said, you know, would you like it? And I thought, yes, you know, because that's how things get lost, if somebody doesn't want it, you know.
Mm-hmm. When you look at that, does it make you feel connected?
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. And I would have a great desire to go to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whether I'd have the opportunity, you know, that would have to be an exception. We do travel, And, you know, I myself serve on our provincial council, so if people want to go abroad, they do go through us. And who knows? My philosophy is what you want to do in life, you can do if you dream about it. Mm-hmm. And I have done a lot in my religious life and in my lifetime. And, I mean, I've been in many places in the world. And I believe that if I truly want to go to Russia, that I can, that one day I can do it, and maybe I can do it through your agency. Who knows?
I hope so.
But thank you.
Thank you very
for keeping
much.
Us alive.